Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Leaving for Beijing, Vice President Yusuf Kala to attend the One Belt, One Road Summit. In a craft that also 19 bridges Indonesian-Moroccan culture. Now the news in details. Vice President Yusuf Kala left for Beijing, China on Wednesday to attend the second summit of One Belt, One Road. Previously, Vice President Yusuf Kala affirmed that the meeting would discuss the acceleration of development of countries that are members of the One Belt, One Road. Andaran News Agency reports that One Belt, One Road is a project initiated by China to join modern silk lines among countries. Based on the project, China is setting up new trade routes and connecting regions to be closer. In addition to attending the international conference, Vice President Yusuf Kala is scheduled to meet Chinese President Xi Jinping and to have lunch with Vice President Wang Qishan. The International Handicraft Trade Fair in Accra 2019 displays almost all handicraft products coming from Indonesian regions. The 21st exhibition was officially opened by Indonesian President Joko Widodo in Jakarta on Wednesday. From year to year, the participants and the quality of handicrafts on display increase. This year's Innocraft exhibition also present foreign pavilion from Morocco. Chairperson of the Royal Moroccan Delegation, Madame Jamila El Moussali, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that Innocraft 2019 will be the cultural link between Indonesia and Morocco.
I thank for your cooperation with the organizers so that Morocco can participate in this exhibition, and I'm sure this exhibition can bridge the culture between Indonesia and Morocco.
Jamila El Moussali also said that at this Innocraft, her country's pavilion features not only traditional Moroccan handicrafts, but also Islamic nuances that were hundreds of years old. In the exhibition, the products displayed are more varied and of higher quality. This exhibition is attended by 1,700 participants from various regions in Indonesia, and there are 1,400 booths available. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, reports that women are very effective in educating disaster preparedness because women's position is very strategic. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Deputy for Prevention and Preparedness of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, Bernardus Wisnuwijaya, firm in Bandung, West Java, on Wednesday, that they are true educators and trainers to themselves, their families, and the environment. He added that if women have good knowledge in the field of disaster, disaster literacy is getting better, and this understanding can reduce the number of victims in the event of a natural disaster. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. State-owned energy holding company PT Pertamina has confirmed reports that it imports crude oil for the first time from the United States. The shipment of around 600,000 barrels of imported U.S. light crude oil is scheduled to arrive on June 7. Pertamina's Vice President of Strategic Planning and Business Development, Logistics Supply Chain and Infrastructure, Hasto Wibowo, confirmed the report. He said that PT Pertamina has decided to import the light crude from the U.S. because of its competitive price compared to other bids. Minister of Trade Enggartiasto Lukita has more recently that the U.S. would maintain Indonesia's generalized system of preference GSP facility on the condition that the country fulfills its requirement to make consistent regulatory adjustment. In April 2018, the Donald Trump administration expressed disappointment over its high trade deficit with Indonesia and announced that it would review the generalized system of preference GSP facility for Indonesia. An Australian flag cruise ship will transport 124 tourists to a fisherman village in Muara Sungsang, Banyuasin District, South Sumatra, on Friday. The Australian cruise ship Coral Adventure will be carrying tourists who work as researchers in Britain, Belgium, France, the United States, New Zealand, Russia, the Netherlands, and Australia. This was stated by head of the Banyuasin District Culture and Tourism Office, Aminuddin, in Banyuasin on Wednesday. The guests will be welcomed by traditional dancers, namely the migrant bird dance and the Tingguan dance from the residents of the fishing village belonging to the Sungsang community. In addition, the district government will open craft outlets where local products ranging from crafts to culinary items will be promoted. The foreign tourists would be visiting the place mainly to have a first-hand view of life in the fishermen's village and be a part of the culture and traditions of the community. The Jakarta Composite Index Share Price Index IHSG lowered in opening trade on Thursday, with the Indonesian Stock Exchange Index dropping 24.05 points or 0.37%. This downward slide was also reflected in the index of the 45 most liquid stocks, nose diving 5.84 points or 0.57%. Chief researcher of Valbury Securitas Alfianza has forecast the United States-China trade talks and issuers' 2019 first quarter profit statements will spur the movement of IHSG on Thursday. Global investors are presently watching the direction of the U.S.-China trade talks for discussing wide-ranging trade issues, with both nations apparently serious about finding solutions. The trade talks will continue next week once both nations inch closer to an agreement. The next week's trade talks will cover discussion on trade encompassing intellectual property, technological transfer, non-tariff barriers, and law enforcement. Men's double pair Hendra Satyawan Muhammad Ahsan went through the first round of the 2019 Badminton Asia Championship tournament after beating Taiwanese doubles pair Liao Mingchen and Su Ching Hang. Hendra Satyawan Muhammad Ahsan, with the fourth rank in the world, stepped into the second round after winning two straight games with a score 21-15, 21-16. An official statement received by Antaranus agency in Jakarta on Wednesday, Hendra Satyawan said that despite winning two direct games, it was a hard struggle. This victory is the second one won by Hendra Satyawan Muhammad Ahsan over Liao and Su. So the record of the meeting is now surpassed by Hendra Ahsan to be 2-1. In the second round, Hendra and Ahsan will face Aaron Chia and Su Wu Yik from Malaysia. The 2019 Badminton Asia Championship Tournament takes place from April 23rd to 28th at Wuhan Sports Center, Wuhan, China. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The topic of today's commentary is Inafra 2019 to bring Indonesian industry to go international. The exhibition, the 21st Jakarta International Handicraft Trade Fair, Inacraft 2019, is again held in Jakarta. This year's craft trade show is more special because there is special pavilion of Kingdom of Morocco. At the exhibition, the products displayed are more varied and more qualified. It is followed by 1,700 participants from various regions in the country, and 1,400 booths are available. Inacraft 2019 promotes Betawi's leading art, culture, and crafts with the theme Jakarta Enjoyable Multicultural Diversities, accompanying the central theme from Smart Village to Global Market. President Joko Widodo, in his opening on Wednesday, April 24th, said that from year to year, the quality of products exhibited improves. He views the government would like to see Indonesian handicraft products continue to improve, such as production capacity, quality, competitiveness, and image, especially for export quality. Meanwhile, Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto said that craft exports are expected to increase by reaching the target of 9% through this year's exhibition. He also said that there are a number of aspects needed by the small-medium industries. They are designed, assistance, access, and funding. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Royal Moroccan Delegation, Jamila El Moussali, said that Moroccan participants in the Nakrab 2019 event exhibits handicrafts and some Moroccan Islamic cultural objects. In addition, the presence of Morocco in this exhibition is very important to know each other and respect differences. But all those differences are now united in a large and magnificent exhibition in Jakarta. Definitely, handicraft is the result of human cultivation, which is manifested in the form of objects that support or become decoration and human light. Crafts can also symbolize a noble value of a nation's customs. If all crafts are fed well and professionally, they will provide added value to the makers and to the state, and even give respect to those who see or appreciate the craft. It should be noted that environmental issues have to be paid attention by traditional Ecuadorian crafters, because the use of materials from nature and non-environmentally friendly materials is often a reference in the making. Thus, there is a need for regulations relative to the use of natural resources and non-organic materials in supporting the Indonesian handicraft industry to be more respected and global. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, History, Today in History. Well, we start on April 25th, 1950, rebels formed Republic of South Maluku. Republic of South Maluku, or locally called RMS, was proclaimed in Maluku Islands on April 25, 1950. Maluku Island consists of Seram, Ambon, and Buru. The RMS in Ambon was defeated by the Indonesian military in November 1950, but the conflict in Seram continued until December 1963. Its defeat in Ambon led to evacuation of RMS government to Seram Island. Then it established a government in exile in the Netherlands in 1966. When the rebel leader, Chris Sumokil, was captured by the Indonesian military and executed in 1966, the president of RMS in exile was installed in the Netherlands. We turn to Coordination Revolution event in Portugal, which took place on April 25, 1974. Peaceful military coup overthrew the government of Marcelo Setón, successor of Salazar dictatorship, which took place in Lisbon, Portugal on April 25, 1974. The coup, namely the Coordination Revolution, was led by General António. The name Coordination Revolution comes from the fact that no suits were fired, and when people began to gather on the street to celebrate the end of the dictatorship, carnation flowers were placed on the muzzles of the weapons and also in uniforms. This event effectively transformed the Portuguese regime from authoritarian dictatorship into democracy and produced major changes in social, economic, territorial, population, and political affairs in the country. World Malaria Day is commemorated every April 25th throughout the world. This date was chosen in coincidence with the date of signing of the Abuja Declaration on April 25, 2001, done by 44 heads of countries endemic to malaria. The World Malaria Day was agreed at the World Health Assembly on May 23, 2007 in Geneva, which was attended by 192 member countries of the World Health Organization. The commemoration of a World Malaria Day was first held on April 25, 2008 in Indonesia. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
matahari terbit dari barat, kau pun Indonesia. Tak sebilah pedang yang tajam dapat palingkan daku dari.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia, titled, Indonesia Calls for Millennials to Care for Their Environment. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry targets 30% reduction of Indonesia's waste by 2025. To support the mission, one of Indonesia's national private banks, DBS Bank, is implementing
an environmental care movement called Recycle More, Waste Less, in cooperation with social entrepreneurs and mobile communities in the environmental field, including WWF Indonesia, Waste for Change, Cleanomic, Zero Waste Indonesia, EvoWare, and Weekend Workshop. DBS Bank Executive Director Mona Monica explained, the Recycle More, Waste Less program involves all Indonesian generations, especially millennials, to be more aware of their surrounding environment by reporting illegal waste buildup. She said, the movement aims to provide awareness for millennial generation to care for the environment in everyday habits. Through this movement, it is expected that the millennial generation can be committed to creating a clean environment and participating in the Recycle More, Waste Less program. And moreover, Mona Monica also stated that changes do not merely start from something large, but this can be done by doing something good gradually so that the good impact will certainly be felt later on. There are three ways to participate in this movement. Firstly, it is by pressing the Dukung Sekarang option, which will be connected directly with supporting social media in the form of pledging. Secondly, the public can choose and download the pledging templates they want to choose on the website, upload the templates to personal social media along with the kind messages listed on the website with the hashtag #RecycleMoreWasteLess, #IndonesiaBersihSampah2025, and share them to three friends. Thirdly, people can support this movement by uploading photos of their respective creations and downloading the pledging templates they want to choose. In addition, through this movement, at least it can call for people to report the garbage buildup. Then it will be forwarded to the relevant parties by reporting via Instagram or Twitter with the hashtag #RecycleMoreWasteLess #IndonesiaBersihSampah2025. It is hoped that all generations in Indonesia, especially millennials, will be more concerned toward the surrounding environment. Those who are committed to supporting the Recycle More, Waste Less movement with the best uploads have an opportunity to win the Travel for Good package, traveling while volunteering to tourism destinations in Indonesia. The number of winners is 3. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Bahasa.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, I bring you a topic about land and agriculture museum. On 22 April, the Indonesian Ministry of Agriculture inaugurated the Land and Agriculture Museum. This is Indonesia's first international scale agricultural museum. The ceremony was also attended by former ministers and deputy ministers of agriculture at various era. Minister of Agriculture for 2009-2014 period, Suswono, hoped that the presence of this museum could spur the spirit of millennials to be involved in agriculture, since agribusiness is a promising business. Located on Jalan Juanda Bogor, West Java, the Land and Agriculture Museum consists of four main buildings. The Land Museum is located in Building A and the Agricultural Museum in Building C and D, with a theme departing from the past, stepping to the future. The museum invites anyone who comes to explore the development of Indonesian agriculture from time to time. The concept of the museum is very unique, far from being monotonous and ancient. The Land and Agriculture Museum is indeed made in such a way by bringing interactive, educative messages and Instagrammable. Building C of the museum has three floors. The first floor is food gallery and agricultural civilization, the second floor for policy gallery and commodity, and the third floor is a future agricultural gallery. While Building D has four floors, the first floor is children and family playground, the second floor is the farm gallery, and the third floor is a gallery of farms and cinema. Interestingly, on the third floor, you can also see how technology is used in the 4.0 technology development in Indonesia. Now the mechanization process of agriculture has used drones, smart farming market applications to unmanned tractors with GPS systems or global positioning system. You can also taste coffee, tea, and Indonesian specialty cacao in the coffee corner area. On the fourth floor or rooftop, there is also sound, where you can get various hydroponic seeds and fruit plants while looking directly to Mount Salak and Mount Gede Pangrango from the top of the building. For those who are interested to visit the Land and Agriculture Museum, please come soon, since until the next 3 months, the entrance ticket to the museum is free. Listener, that was the segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. We will meet again with other interesting topics. See you tomorrow.
Voice of Indonesia. Ingin ku tahu, apakah kau ada yang punya? Karena ku tak bisa lupakanmu. Kau satu fenomena,
Langit pun cerah, hilang gelisah bila engkau ada. Dan ku ingin tahu, mungkinkah ada yang istimewa bila ku menyapa. Karena bayangmu selalu hantuiku.
Ingin ku tahu, apakah ada yang punya. Karena ku tak bisa lupakanmu. Apakah mau, apakah kau juga mau. Katakan yang kau rasa. Jangan kau diam saja.
Thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, the multiculturalism of Jakarta, comprising various ethnicities and culture, attracts many people to conduct business and earn a living in the city. No wonder Jakarta has been the center of business and indicator of development for other regions. Mixture of ethnicities and acculturation also contributes to enhancing the culture and traditions of Jakarta's residents. Therefore, determination to preserving the multiculturalism of Jakarta encourages associations of Indonesian handicraft exporters and producers to make Jakarta the icon of the 21st Jakarta International Handicraft Trade Fair, or INACRAFT 2019. INACRAFT 2019 will take place at Jakarta Convention Center from 24th to 28 April 2019. The Handicraft Trade Fair presents the theme Jakarta Enjoyable Multicultural Diversities. The multi-ethnicities and acculturation contribute to the abundance and beauty of culture in Jakarta. InnerCraft is aimed at improving the welfare of Indonesian craftsmen and handicraft business people. InnerCraft was firstly carried out in 1999. From time to time, the InnerCraft has always been awaited by craftsmen, handicraft business people, international buyers, and handicraft enthusiasts. The trade fair contributes to developing the export value of Indonesian handicraft. Last year, InnerCraft 2018 was participated in by 1,022 buyers from 47 countries and 135,000 visitors. The retail transaction reached 139.7 billion rupiah. Meanwhile, the trade fair recorded a trade value of 10,620,500 US dollars. This year, InnerCraft 2019 will be participated in by 1,300 stands across Indonesia. It features not only local craft but also Moroccan craft as the country focus of the fair. This year, InnerCraft 2019 will feature not only Indonesian and Moroccan handicraft products but also the hybrid products between Indonesia and Moroccan craftsmen so that acculturation between the two countries can be established. Listeners, that was Miss Lenny about InnerCraft 2019. See you on our next edition.
Jalan mana ku lalui, acap kali ku mencari, entah di sana atau di sini, aku gelap semua itu. Dunia di mana ingin aku memandang, damai gelora berbaur satu serta gelut bahagia semuanya. Kadangkala aku berjalan berpikir lepas, tiada oh.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, I present a song to you entitled Birunya Cintaku by Helen Sparinga. The name of Helen Sparinga began to be known by music lovers in Indonesia since she released the album Birunya Cintaku. The album was released in 1985 and supported by Opi Mesak, Wahyu O.S., and Dedi Dores as guest vocalists. In addition, Mus Mulyadi also appeared as a composer on several songs in this album. The leading song in this album is the same title with the album, Birunya Cintaku. The song created by Obi Mensak and tells the story of a couple lover who love each other but split up because the man betrayed his love. Listener, here is the song Birunya Cintaku by Helen Sparinga. Happy listening!
Voice of Indonesia.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at VOI Indonesia, and send us email on voi@voinews.id.